And the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. He's talking when he said that. A little bit of irony when you're talking to God and you say, I don't know how to talk. I'm going to let that settle for a moment there. Some of you are like, word. No, that's deep, Pastor Adam. That's not that deep. We can go deep. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you to. And do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. And he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Notice the first line the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, I'd like to suggest to you tonight that our God still speaks. And you can get one word from God and it can change the entire trajectory, can change your entire future. You get one word from God, you are feeling depressed. Now all of a sudden the joy of the Lord is in your heart. One moment you were doubting, you get a word from God because faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. And all of a sudden faith is ignited in your heart. Listen, I promise you after 14 years of doing youth ministry, it's amazing how many young people will stick around for the worship and they'll stick around and not be distracted and all the parts of the meeting. And then the word of the Lord comes and all of a sudden you start thinking 42 other things at this moment. She's tapping you. He's tapping you. Somebody's got a text. Somebody's got a Twitter. Somebody got a Facebook. Somebody got to do something. Let me just tell you something. Don't miss when God speaks. Don't miss when somebody's preaching the word. Say, don't bother me now. Oh, don't talk to me right now. Why? Because if I could just get a word from God. You see, with all due respect to your opinion, I'd rather have God's word. With all due respect to what you think about me, I'd rather have what God says about me. Somebody make some noise up in this house. And the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, says, look, before you were formed, before you were a kid, before you were in the womb, I formed you, I knew you, I had your days planned. I'd like to suggest to you tonight, I don't care what your mother said, your father said, they might have called you a mistake. You are breathing tonight because God has purpose for your life. You are breathing in this house tonight because God has, you have not been wiped off the face of the earth. Breathe it in. Every time you suck air in, remember God's got something for your life. That's why you're still breathing. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I talk to young people all the time. They say, well, I'm just a mistake. You're not a mistake. They might have thought you were a mistake. That's why it's important to hear what God says about you. Because they called you a mistake. God said, I've got purpose for your life. They called you a mistake, and God said, no, I've got a plan for your life. I've got a purpose for your life. I'm going to set you up. You're going to speak on my behalf. Oh, you've got to know that God's got something great for your life. That's why you're breathing tonight. That's why you're alive tonight. That's why we're in the greatest city on the face of the earth, where there are countries from all over the world that come here, that we could do something for God that would shake the nations across the globe. We breathe today because God has purpose for our life. For I formed you, I knew you. Jeremiah, don't get it twisted. My translation. Before you were born, I set you apart. I had a plan for you. You're going to be my spokesman. You're going to speak on my behalf. Listen, don't sing about, well, tell the world that Jesus sees. Go tell them. Word up. Amazing. We like, I'll tell the world that Jesus saves. Then we in class, we walk in the corridors of our school. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. It's great to sing about it in church. It's better to talk about it out there. It's great that we sing about it here, but some of y'all got to get the boldness of God. See, when the Spirit of God came upon the people in Acts, the Bible says it came upon them with the Holy Ghost and boldness. Speak. Say something. But here's what's amazing, because, you know, the minute God tells you to do something and he asks you to do something, oftentimes it's so far going to blow our minds that it's out of the realm of what we can do on our own. So Jeremiah does what most of us do. Ah! Say that out loud. It's good for you. Ah! If there's ever a city in the world that deserves to do that, it's our city. Ah! I mean, it's just like, God! I know this doesn't happen to y'all. Let me just be a little transparent here. God's like, I'm going to do something great in your life. Ah, I don't think so. You might have got my email mixed up with Pastor Patrick, because he's really godly and I'm just not. And, you know, and we come up with all these reasons why we can't. Because let me tell you something. If you could do what God asked you to do, it wouldn't require faith. And it's probably not him. He asked us to do something. He asked us to go on a mission trip that we ain't got no money for. And then he sends a woman into a grocery store that doesn't just give you the $350 you need. Gives you $500. And then you ask your boss that you think is going to fire you, and he says, don't worry about it. You take the week and I'm going to pay you for it anyway. You see, when we stop battling with God, stop arguing with God for a moment and say, yes, it's amazing. It triggers the blessing of God. It triggers the activity of God. God shows up on the scene. He's like, Adam, I know you can't, but if you just believe me to say yes, I'll step in the midst of your situation and I'll blow your mind. That's why the Apostle Paul said, in my weakness, your power is made. Y'all didn't hear me. In my weakness, your power is made. Your power is made perfect in my weakness. You see, the thing is this, we've got to stop arguing with God and stop letting our insecurities rule and say, God, I can't, because the only person you're really trying to convince at that moment is yourself. It's not him. Thank you. Pick that up. Great. Tell him I said hi. The only person you're trying to convince at that moment, it's not like God's going to be like, oh, you're right. My bad, dude. I meant, dang, you are messed up. imagine you're like, God, you know, I can't do this. I can't speak. I can't do that. And he's like, yeah, you're right. All right, cool, Adam. Word up. You are. It's not like we're going to tell God something about us that he doesn't already know. His eyes blaze like fire. Bible says man judges the outward, but God judges the... He already knows. He's seen it. He already had the days laid out before. He's asking you to do some stuff that you can't do on your own. Why? Because if we could do it on our own, somehow we'd be able to take credit for it. And you see, God waits for it to be so impossible for us that only God could get the glory from it. And you have to stand back and say, ah, God, you're awesome. You're mighty in all your ways. Who could get 800 young people in the middle of Times Square to show up to church on a Friday night? I don't care how big your pizza budget is. When young people are used by God and they're filled with the Spirit and they walk out of here with boldness and the touch of God is on their life and they say, I'm going to open up my mouth. And God said, I don't have to worry about what to say because God's going to give me words to speak. Who could do that? What man could do that? Nobody. You have to stand back and say, oh God. That's why youth ministry is so awesome. You can't convince young people to do anything unless God shows up. Somebody say hi. So what happens when God's moving and the young people show up? He's just got to look up and say, God, I would have never thought when I was 19 years old and God saved me, he'd be doing the stuff in my life that he's doing today. I was full of insecurity. I was full of all this. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. First time I got up in Bible study, they actually let me say something. I told the whole class that the entire New Testament was written by the Apostle Paul. Now, there are a couple of you that are not laughing. That's not true. Okay, we're good. I'm never going to get this. Never. And then God says, Adam, don't worry about it. Before I formed you, I knew your insides. I knew your makeup. I knew your personality. I knew who you were as an individual. You don't have to try to be somebody you're not. You just be who you are, and I'm going to anoint that, and I'm going to use you as you are. And, you know, don't ever, listen to me, let me just say this. Don't ever try to be a second somebody else when you could be an original you. Don't ever try to be a second somebody. Oh, we can bless the Lord for that. That's cool. Don't ever try to be a second. I don't got to try to be somebody else. Listen, I'm not as talented as Pastor Patrick. He can sing. I can't even clap on beat. I mean, I just. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be you. And if you're you, you can just say, God, I can't in myself. But with you, if God be for me, who could be against me? On my own, I can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. And he comes and he touches your mouth. He speaks a second word. I love how God responds to Jeremiah. He doesn't say, oh, you're right, Jeremiah. My bad. He's like, don't say that, dude. You ever get one of those? Like you're praying, you're like, God. He's like, Adam, don't say that. I know. It's okay. My power is going to come upon you. And you're not going to have to worry about what to say, because when you get up there, I'm going to put the words in your mouth, and you're just going to say what I tell you to say. And when you approach that young person in the hallway, or that young friend, or that person that's struggling with something, well, I don't know what I'm going to say, God, that's okay. The Bible says, don't worry about what to say, because when you get in front of them, I'm going to give you words to speak. Well, God, but you know, I'm an introvert, and Pastor Adam, he's obviously an extrovert. He's been sweating since the moment he got up there. It's okay. God uses us within the context of our personality, and then he anoints us and empowers us to do what we cannot do on our own. He comes with great strength. And then he says to Jeremiah, after he reaches out his hand, he touches his mouth. You see, because this is what I'm praying for you as you go back to school this semester. I'm praying that you would be filled. You'd have a word from God that says, understand what you're there to do. You're there, yes, to study. And yes, you're there to be a great student. Because it's a horrible reputation when the young person that says, I'm a Christian, but they're failing every class and they're not applying themselves to their books. That's not godly. You have the fish bumper sticker. You're the meanest person in the room. That's not cool. You're there to grow. You're there to learn. But you're there as God's spokesman. You walk the corridors of your school. And remember that the Bible says, wherever you place your foot, I'm going to give you that land. And when you go down the corridors of your school and you remember that I'm here, I am God's physical representation of an invisible God. I'm the one who's here to share my faith and tell the world that Jesus lives. This world that has been promised so many things, and they're in a desert land, and they've been promised so many things that look like a mirage. And when they get to the point where they think they're going to receive the satisfaction that the world promises, they reach down and they get but only sand. And yet we have rivers of living water and joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Understand that God's got to touch your mouth and touch you so that he would use you when you go back to school and do something great for his kingdom. And Father God, right now I pray you anoint and empower every single student, God. As they go back to school this year, use them for greatness, God. Use them to do great things. Every junior high school student right now, God, open up their mouth and let them speak your word with boldness. Every high school student, every young adult, every adult, God, pour out your spirit and pour it out with boldness and power. Not wise or persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Show up in our schools. Show up in our math class, our English class. Show up on the basketball team and on the football team. That not only won't we ever be the same, but the people around us will never be the same again. In Jesus' name we pray. Shall all say amen? If you agree with that, would you put your hands together and bless the Lord? So after he promises Jeremiah, you're going to go and you're going to speak. And he goes, I'm not going to send you by yourself. I'm going to go with you. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And he touches his mouth. Here's what he tells Jeremiah. He says, Jeremiah, listen to me. Put my words in your mouth. See today. Turn to your neighbor, say today. Turn to your other neglected neighbor, say today. Because you've been turning to the same person all night. It's cool. They don't want to walk out here with complex. Today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I was thinking about this sermon, and I found this theory. It's called the theory of relativity. Okay. I got that reaction one other time before. So for a second, don't laugh at the guy that's up here speaking like, duh, we all heard about that, Pastor Adam. I go home, I'm like, hey, babe, it's usually easier to tell this story when you're not in the room, honey. You go home and you're like, I found this awesome thing about this theory of relativity. And she's like, yeah, we knew that. I'm like, dang. So here's what the theory of relativity says. It says no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. Thank you. Because my insecurity and my confidence level just needed to drop a little bit, because this 11-year-old junior high school student over here is like, yeah, Pastor Adam, you. Right. All right. So, no, we're going to school here. No two objects, same space, same time. And this is what preachers do when we're writing on a whiteboard. We scribble a lot because we're afraid we're going to misspell the word. So, there's not three eyes in space and time, but it doesn't matter. I just scribble, pop, 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 throw a couple of dots. You're like, oh, look at that. It's really because I'm scared that if I write it out, you're going to be like, you misspelled that. And I can't deal with that tonight. Thank you. No two objects occupy the same space, the same time. So, that means this. This chair is here. I was expecting a little bit more of a wow. Give a little bit of that. Thank you. That makes up for the theory of relativity thing. And so, this chair is here. Good. Maybe by the late night service, we'll get it. The chair is here. And so what that means is, this theory means basically that if this chair is here, then this chair can't occupy that space at the same time that that chair is occupying that space. Because I can put it on top of it. I can try to invert it. I love this crowd. Love these people. It does not matter what you do. You cannot occupy that same space that that chair is already in with another chair at the same time, because the theory of relativity says so. What I'd like to suggest to you tonight is that long before the theory of relativity was ever discovered, God declared that his kingdom and another kingdom could never occupy the same space at the same time. That your heart and your future and your destiny and your affections cannot be occupied by the things of this world and by the things of God simultaneously at the same time. And let me suggest to you one other thing. God will not build his kingdom on top of your secular foundation. God will not build, listen to me, God will not build his kingdom on top of your secular foundation. That's why we've got a world where hip-hop artists can sing whatever they want, say whatever they want, rap about whatever they want, have as many girls in the video as they possibly can, show up to church on Sunday and decide that they're a Christian because they're going to honor God on Sunday, and they think that it's all good, because as a society, as a secular culture, what we've done is we'll say, hey, we're okay with you adding Jesus, we're just not willing to get rid of our stuff. We just want to keep both. I want to keep my hip-hop lifestyle. I want to keep my stuff. I want to keep my promiscuous lifestyle. I want to keep, it's all, you can have your Jesus. Just don't tell me he's the only way, the truth, and the life, because that's narrow-minded, Pastor Adam. And we believe that it could be many gods and it could be many ways. And so you believe in Jesus. I believe in Muhammad and I believe in Buddha and I believe in this thing. And I just believe in being spiritual. And you can say all that you want, but let me just explain something to you. God's kingdom and your kingdom cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And God's kingdom does not work like that. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And so here's what he tells Jeremiah. And what I believe God is saying to us is, he goes, look, I want to build. I want to plant. I want you to grow. I've got great stuff I want you to do in your life. But before I can build and plant, I will not build my godly kingdom on top of your secular foundation. There's some stuff that has to be uprooted. Uprooted speaks to the stuff that's so far embedded in us, came up with us in our childhood. Some of us are living with the ramifications of what our father did many, many years ago. He told us, well, this is how to be a man. So how to be a man is to slap your wife around and to treat her however you want to treat her and sleep with as many girls you could be, because your manhood is somehow identified by how many girls you can be with, and some machismo attitude where we don't show our emotions and we don't cry in public and we don't tell people. That thing's got to be uprooted. Because you can't drag that secular culture into God's kingdom and ask God to bless it. There's some stuff. I was doing a funeral 2 weeks ago. It was a 28-year-old young man, my wife's cousin, who died of cancer. I was grieving with them. And there's a group of young men, and they're all around the room. They're got to be now in their mid-30s, and they're wearing their pants still sagging, and they got nowhere to go, and they ain't got a job, and they ain't got it. That stuff's got to be uprooted. There's some stuff that before God can build and plant in your life, that stuff's got to come up. You've been in your mind. You've been, since you're there, you will remember. You've been thinking that this is the way. Your identity is so closely knit to this. That thing's got to come up. And let me tell you, oftentimes, it's beneath the surface, because the stuff that has to be uprooted is oftentimes beneath the surface, but causes the stuff we see on the outside. And God says, I want to use you to do some great things, young man, but there's some stuff I've got to uproot. There's some stuff I want to tear up. There's some young women here that you think that your entire self-esteem rides on him. On who's on your arm. What he says about you. That's why he can treat you however you want and you keep coming back to him. Let me tell you something. You should be more concerned about what he says about you than what he says about you. That concept that you've got to measure up to what he thinks. Let me tell you, that thing's got to be uprooted. Those insecurities, that moment where you wake up in the morning. Am I pretty enough? Do I measure up to what the other girl? That thing's got to be uprooted. That stuff that anguishes your mind. And at night, you cry yourself to sleep at night because you don't think that you measure up to what everybody else, what the secular society says is beautiful. And so you cry at night. You weep at night. Let me tell you something. That thing's got to be uprooted. Why? Because God's got something to build in you. And God's got something to grow in you. And God's got something to plant through you. And he doesn't want to build on top of those insecurities and on top of that. That thing's got to be uprooted. That thing's got to be torn up from under the soil of your life. He says, "This is, look, I'm going to uproot. I'm going to tear down. I'm going to tear down. There's stuff that's up here. The Bible says you take every thought subject in the name of Jesus Christ. The emotions of your life are not supposed to rule you. You're supposed to rule your emotions. There are things that you have to tear down that have been riding in your mind, that anguish your mind. The accuser of the brethren has a field day with you. He says, well, you're disqualified. You can't go on a missions trip. You can't be used by God. You had an abortion. You slept with him. You slept with her. You did this. You did that. Let me just tell you something. Those thoughts are not God's thoughts. Those things need to be torn down in the name of Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to believe God's word over what you're telling me. I'm going to believe God's word, even what invades my own mind. I'm going to believe God's word, even over my own insecurities and emotions. Those things must be torn down. Why? Because God wants to do something great in you, and two things cannot occupy the same heart at the same time. One's got to go. He says, uproot, tear down. destroy. I'll never forget. I might have been a youth pastor about 7 or 8 years. One young girl responded to the altar call at the end of the night. She came up to me and said, "Pastor Adam, I've been coming the last few weeks and I'm serving the Lord. And so I took my backsliding clothes and I threw them to the back of the closet. And I just told her, I said, why would you throw them to the back of the closet? And she said, just in case I ever backslide again. Let me tell you something. There's some stuff from your old life that you got to stop holding on to. You got to completely destroy. Yeah. The Bible says in Hebrews that if they would have intended to go back to a country that they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. You see, when you hold on to stuff like that, when you hold on to the remnants, when you hold on to his phone number just in case the godly guy that God brought your way just doesn't work out. The enemy is an opportunist. There will be a day where he will have your back up against the wall. And when you hold on to those things, there'll be a moment where he will convince you that the only way out of that situation is to go back to that thing that God drove you out of. You got to destroy that thing. You know what's amazing about the people of God? When they were taking over the new land, they never had a problem with a giant. They never had a problem with a walled city. They never had a problem with a river at flood stage. The only time they had a problem was when God gave them new territory and he said, wipe out everything that doesn't represent me. Destroy it. Get rid of it. And somebody thought, it's cool. I'm just going to hold on to this. You see, God doesn't want part of your heart. He wants all of your heart. When you come to Christ, listen to me. When you come to Christ, the Bible says that all things become new. The old is gone and the new has come. Don't hold on to the remnants of what used to be and what held you down. Don't hold on to those things that have you to remember those old lifestyles and that old way of life. Completely destroy it. Get rid of it. A little black book. Get rid of it. That stuff that you kind of remember, get rid of it. Why? Because if you keep it around, there's a chance you might go back to it. And you see, God wants to build and God wants to plant and God wants to do great things in your life. And he first wants you to destroy what is from what was so that he can take you on to this new beginning he has for you. And then lastly, the Bible says, you uproot, you tear down, you destroy, and then you overthrow. Maybe the musicians could come. You know what I find oftentimes? I find oftentimes that the thing that has to be dislodged from my heart stays around the longest. The thing that has to be overthrown is me. Because I cannot rule my heart while God rules my heart. It can't be. That's why this concept in our culture about do me, that's so prevalent, is so anti the things of God. The Bible says if he wants to find your life, you lose it. And a man that holds on to his life, that's the one that'll lose it. You see, if you hold on to your heart and you want to be king of your heart, you cannot be king of your heart and God be king of your heart at the same time. You have to decide. Because no two objects can occupy the same space at the same time. So here's my simple appeal to you tonight. Who occupies your heart? Who is at the center of your affection? Who's at the center of your hopes and your dreams? Who's at the center of everything that you want and everything that you desire? Is it God? Because if it's him, and it must be him. And his kingdom and your kingdom cannot occupy the same heart at the same time. And you say, God, all I want is you. There's nothing I have and I have desire that's beside you. And in my life, I know you won't build on top of what I already have in my secular foundation. So uproot every image and every concept and every paradigm and every thought process that I have that's not identifiable with you. You're the creator. You're the one who created me. So if you created me, you have purpose for my life. You have a specific direction for me. Then I don't want to hold on to something that's just been inside of me because my culture has said that, or it's dictated that, or because I didn't have a dad, this is what I think it's supposed to be like, or because my mom did this, or my uncle did that, or because hip-hop says this, or R&B says this, then this is what it must be. God, I want you to dig beneath the soil of my heart tonight and uproot what you must uproot. God, I want you to tear down every vain imagination, every thought and every emotion that doesn't stand for you. Every insecurity, every time that I think that I'm no longer worth anything, and yet you say that my value is in you, God, I want you to tear that stuff down. God, I don't want to hold on to that stuff that's from my past. God, I want that thing completely destroyed. And tonight I want a new beginning. I don't want to have that stuff in the remnants of my closets. I want to open up the doors. I want your light to shine in. And I don't ever want to go back to that stuff again. And God, if you've got to overthrow who's on the throne of my heart, even if it's me tonight, then tonight, God, overthrow that kingdom. Because the only person that I want sitting on the throne of my heart tonight is you. Would you bow your heads at me, please? Here's your heart. Who sits on the throne of it tonight? Is there some stuff that has to be torn down? Is there some stuff that has to be uprooted? Is there some stuff that has to just be completely destroyed? Maybe some stuff that has to be overthrown. Because no two kingdoms can occupy the same heart, same life. No two people can occupy your affections and your desire. It will either be him or it will not. Please bow your heads at me. Father God, make up for where my words have failed. Make up for what I haven't said. Holy Spirit, do heart surgery tonight. Reach to the places that no man can reach. Put your finger on the areas of our heart that no one else can touch. Spirit of a living God, we open up our heart to you and we say, God, we don't want our heart to be occupied by any other. We don't want our affections and our desires, our dreams, our future to be occupied by any other. God, it's you. It's you we want. It's you we love. Besides you, there is no other. So uproot. Tear down. Destroy. And overthrow in my heart and in my life today, because I know there is great things you want to build and great things you want to plant, and you want to use this generation for your kingdom. You want to use the gate and this youth group for this generation. But you will not build your kingdom. You will not build your kingdom on a secular foundation. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not going to ask you what it is. It doesn't really matter to me. It's important that you know, because God has put his finger on that area of your life tonight. This is simply about reaching out to God, dragging it into the light, and saying, God, I'm ready tonight. If you got to uproot some stuff and tear up the ground of my heart tonight, I'm ready. God, if there's some stuff you got to tear down, there's been some stuff riding around in my mind, in my emotions, tear it down.
every thought subject. God, there's been some stuff I've been holding on to. I thought putting it in the closet was enough, but I realized tonight you want that stuff completely destroyed. I'm going to consecrate that stuff to you. Or simply tonight, you've just got to declare to God, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Because I submit and I surrender the lordship of my heart and my life to you and to you alone, because you alone are God. I am not God, and I will not sit on the throne of my heart. You are God, and that throne is yours. Does not belong to me any longer. It's no longer mine. Overthrow those areas of my heart. God, be Lord tonight. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say, Pastor Adam, from the top of the balcony down to this main floor, that's me. If that's you, then lift up your right hand to God right now. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't worry about the person on your right and on your left. And don't lift it up halfway. Lift it up to God. Satarababake. Be bold. May the strength of God come under your arm right now. How the enemy would love to keep you in the shadows. Every person from the top of the balcony, doesn't matter if you're an adult, doesn't matter who you came here with tonight, or on the main floor, if you lifted up your hand, the singers are going to begin to sing this out. And they're going to sing this out loud. Here I am to worship. I want you to stand up right now. Stand. Stand. Don't hesitate. Stand. And get out from where you're sitting and come and stand down here at this altar. All over this building, lift up your hands. All over this sanctuary, young or old. We declare tonight. You are God. Say that out loud. Stand in your presence. Uproot every young man right now standing up at this altar. Their concept, their paradigm for manhood has been influenced by the culture of this world that's not godly. Uproot. Uproot it right now in the name of Jesus. Uproot those old ways of thinking, God. Uproot those old paradigms. Every young woman, God, that's struggling in her mind, uproot those insecurities right now in the name of Jesus. Tear down. Some of you, the enemy has just been accusing you in your mind. You feel like you cannot escape the accusation of the enemy. Put your hand on your head right now. Young or old, you could be a youth leader. You could be a pastor. Doesn't matter. Put your hand on your head right now. We lift up the shield of faith. We lift up the shield of faith right now to quench every fiery dart of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. A smoldering wick, he will not snuff out. A bent reed, he will not destroy. Satan, you are a liar. These young people are your property. They have been set apart for the greater things of God. For the high calling, chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And we thank you tonight that no matter what we've done, it cannot cancel what you did on Calvary. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you tonight. Wash every mind right now, Lord. Wash every mind right now, Lord. Wash, God, right now in the name of Jesus. Wash away those thoughts. Your blood paid both for the sin and the guilt. Wash the guilt away. Wash the accusing thoughts of disqualification. Wash away the years of being told that they cannot, when you said that they could. Tear that thing down right now. Every vain imagination, every emotion that's run wild, every thought that has seeped into their heart that is not you, we take it thought, we take it subject right now in the name of Jesus. Some of you have been holding on to some stuff. Thought it was enough to keep it away, tucked away in the closet. But tonight, you know that the thing has to be completely destroyed. That thing has to just, it has to be crucified with Christ. If that's you and you need that thing destroyed, lift up your right hand to God. Again. Here it is, God. Just open up your hand. Say, here it is, Lord. Here it is, Lord. Here it is, Lord. I'm not going to hold on to that thing any longer. I will not keep that thing hidden in my closet any longer. I don't need that thing anymore. My heart, my affections, they're set on you. I give it to you tonight. Now all over this room, would you lift up both hands to God? We declare that we are no longer on the throne of our hearts, but that you alone are Lord and God. You don't want us to be Savior. You are Lord. You didn't just save us from our sins so that we could be the king of our own life. We tell you tonight with our hands lifted to you, God, that the throne of our heart belongs to you tonight. And you alone are God and King. And you are all we want and nothing more. We tell you that our dreams belong to you. We tell you that our affections belong to you. And you are the lover of our souls and that you're all we want, you're all we ever needed. Have your way in us. We yield ourselves to you that you might be King, that you might be Lord, that you, sovereign God, would be King over our life, for you to rule and reign alone. Put your hands lifted up all over this room. You don't need a song to tell you how you feel about God. Would you just lift up your voices and begin to sing a new song to God? A hymn of praise to our God. Come on, lift up your voice and sing. Lift up your hands and worship. Don't be silent. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Let the instruments praise him. Let your voices praise him.